All right, we're recording, so we're officially kicking off office hours. This is number 4, yep. Right, Ed? Perfect. Yep. You know, and this is just for those who are new. This is our segment with Quiet Speculation, where you have an opportunity to ask us questions through text, real time in the Insider Discord, and then usually a couple of our writers provide their live responses, commentary on your questions. So. I thought this time, as a start, we would do something a little different since it's almost the end of the new year. I thought it would be cool to do a two-part question for each of us, as myself and then Ed. Part one would be, what was the thing that surprised you the most in 2018? And then part two would be, what do you, make one prediction, maybe even a far-fetched prediction for 2019? So if you're ready, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. Yeah. I think the first one is a little bit tougher for me. I was trying to look back at some things. I think one thing that comes to mind recently is, it's not too exciting, I don't think, but I was really surprised that Metamorphos didn't get reprinted. And that really spiked because I thought it was going to get reprinted and it didn't come out in Ultimate Masters, and it's been really crazy. It's super expensive common, and you don't really see that too often. So that kind of caught me off guard. I wanted to get those, and then I waited, and now I'm stuck not having a playset of those.
Jeez, I'm just looking them up now. Like $20
for common.
I love it.
Yeah. There's also another thing I wanted to point out, too. I recently been by listing some stuff to Card Kingdom, because I mentioned this in an article a while back, and I think I got a little flack for it because people were like, oh, you're not using trader tools to like find the best buy list prices. And I was like, yeah, I just didn't really have that much time. So I just did it to Card Kingdom. But then in another article I mentioned where I downloaded this other app called MTG Manager, and it allowed me to create a spreadsheet that I could import into trader tools. And then I was able to find the best buy list prices for a bunch of my bulk. And so that was cool. I finally got to get in the trader tools and look in there and play around and stuff. And one thing that really surprised me was going through a lot of my bulk. I was like, wow, a lot of these cards are, you know, I can get rid of this stuff. And one card that really stuck out to me was Heroic Intervention from Aether Revolt. And Card Kingdom, I think, was buying it for $4. I was like, wow, I thought this was like a 10-cent card.
That does. Oh, I do know what that does. Yeah. That shocked me too. I opened that in a pack and then, was just some low end rares. You know, let me know if you want to buy anything at a GP. And they're like $4. It took me by surprise.
Yeah, it's really crazy because it just rotated too. And so I guess maybe I don't even remember it being this expensive in standard. And so I was like, wow, I can't believe this is a $4 card. So those are the two things that really kind of just stuck out to me recently. I was looking back on my records.
10,000 decks on EDH Rec. That would explain it.
Oh, wait. A Heroic Intervention? What, how many decks did you say?
10,004.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. That's good.
That would explain why it's worth something.
Yeah, I should have thought about that because green is really generally pretty powerful in EDH, right?
I would think so. All the ramp and stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So games. I'll go quickly. I think did you have a prediction for 2019?
We'll go get to that in a second. Maybe we can talk about wanted me to.
No. So my 2018 surprise, I think, is going to be a little bit more like high level. But, okay. The one thing that really took me most by surprise is how well all the masterpieces took off and did performance wise throughout the year. I mean, there was a time where a lot of the finance people were hyping it. It seemed to slowly gain traction, and then it hit like the exponential curve and took off. And while prices did come back a good amount, I'm still surprised to see how robust the demand is for those. I go to Card Kingdom's hot list now, their website, mm-hmm. go to sell cards. It's like the front page is like almost all these box toppers and masterpieces and expeditions. Like half of the list, if not even more, is all these fancy cards. And someone who doesn't care about foils, who focuses on like the older part of the market, I really just neglected them altogether. But there was really a huge bedrock there of opportunity that I completely overlooked and missed out. So maybe I'll do better with that next year.
Mm-hmm.
that's mine. Then do you want to talk about 2019 or do you want to start answering some questions here? We can end with the 2019 comment. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. So we can get to questions. Looks like so far Kelly's been the one who's been saying, want to start going through those?
Sure.
He's talked about whether reserve list cards have any room to grow. To grow enough to make it worth investing in now. Well, I mean, you addressed this to me, Kelly. I appreciate the question. I mean, but of course, Ed, you can chime in as well. But I would say that I've noticed a lot of the reserve list cards have been retracting in price lately. So, you know, yeah, they certainly are not at the same levels they were 12 months ago, but they are not nearly so crazy now. I mean, I think that if you're focusing on the reserve list cards that actually have demand, whether it be from Legacy or Old School or Commander, like I think now is a great buying opportunity, honestly. Just yesterday, we had like there was an eBay Bucks 10% promo. They seem in eBay Bucks, they do that all the time now. And so I actually went off and just bought two dual lands. I bought an Unlimited Plateau and I bought an HP Revised Tropical Island. It was like $158 before the 10%. I don't remember Trops being so cheap for a long time. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's a blue duel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, stuff like that, I don't think you can go wrong with. So I do think that those are worth investing in. You don't have to do it today, but I think, you know, in over the next month or two, you know, just keep an eye on the supply on the market. Right now, the supply is pretty flooded. If you go to the high-end Facebook group, you see everyone's selling a pile of duels. So this is definitely the buyer's market, not the seller's market. But I think, you know, when you start to see some of that dry up and, you know, you got to just pay close attention to what's in stock and what's on Card Kingdom's hot list, you'll see it start to flatten out and then rebound. I mean, it seems almost inevitable unless, you know, Legacy died. But even then, Commander has so much demand for dual lands too. I'm rambling now. But so I think now is a great time to actually be looking to buy rather than, you know, walking away from the opportunity.
Yeah, I have a couple of things to add there too. So,
sure. Yeah.
I agree with you there. I think now is a good time to buy. However, I think, you know, with the reserve list cards and especially duels, you're in it for the long term, right? They're not gonna I don't think spike too hard. We've only seen that just a few times, or maybe only a couple of times in recent years.
Every couple of years.
But it's like some crazy spike, but they're like blue chip stocks, right? And Sigmund, you and I were just talking about stocks before we jumped on the office hours, and you know, it's like a blue chip stock where it's just going to keep going up, right? So, I mean, if you have money to park, I think, you know, these are still good cards to pick up. And again, I think now is a good time because there's been a slight drop. Actually, I also picked up some duels. I picked up three duels recently. And the last couple of articles that I wrote, I did like a free giveaway thing and I did a poll on Facebook. And there were some things I was looking at. It was like Engineer Explosive Expedition, Scalding Tarns from Modern Masters 2017, dual lands, and I think there was like one other card or something. And most of the people said just get duels. And I think that's kind of a lot of, you know, people just kind of just snap say that usually, but I think it's still true where, you know, if you have some credit and you want to just, you know, park some of that into cards, I think duels are usually safe. And so I waited a little bit and I saw that they dropped a little bit, and I decided to pick up a few. I used all my credit at Card Kingdom. I picked up a Bayou for like $270. And then a Taiga for like $135. And then I used my Star City credit to get a Plateau. The Plateau wasn't at a very good price. It was also played, but I just picked it up. I think it was like $140 or $150. So it was kind of high. Yeah, it's kind of high. But Taiga and Plateau are the lower ones, obviously. And they actually still see play. You know, the Taiga sees play in lands. I think there's one other popular deck too. I can't remember off the top of my head. And then Plateau has started to actually see a lot more play recently in like red, white taxes, death and taxes.
Yep.
So I think they're not blue duels. But I think they still have quite a bit of room to grow. So I think if you're able to find these at pretty good prices, like Taiga and Plateau, because everybody kind of just like poo poos on them, I think those are pretty good to pick up because, you know, eventually there's going to be some crazy card that be printed and then people are going to want the duels to play for that, whatever color that is, you know, red or green card or some white or red card.
I would just add one other thing. I mean, not to criticize your approach. I mean, if you had store credit, you had, you know, it seems like a fine place to put work. But I think that the best deal you can get on duels right now is if you have the cash. You know, it seems like if you, like on the Facebook group or even on eBay with these coupons or the cashback on TCG players, like if you have the cash, you're gonna get the best possible deal. Some of the retailers are still kind of they're overcharging a little bit on duels. They haven't dropped their prices as quickly as they've, you know. The rest of the market. So
I would definitely like to echo that. As you can already tell, I wasn't too happy with like spending my credit from Star City on that plateau because it was kind of high. But I was like, I saw that maybe it's on a dip, so I'll pick up one of those. And then however, Card Kingdom ones where they're actually pretty good, decently priced because I compared it to like MTG stocks and what I can find elsewhere. So they were okay for the credit. But yeah, I agree. Yeah, the credit. So I agree with you. If you can purchase them even a lot cheaper with cash, it's definitely a good move.
Let's move on to the next question so we can keep a good flow here.
Yep.
Want to read the next one?
It's another one from Kelly. It's a reprints that make a card standard Leo again. For example, Shocklands. What is the balance between supply and demand? And my spoiler card, I wrote that in the balance. On the balance, it's a wash. So how does the influx of new supply play off the influx of new demand? Maybe you have a little bit better insight on this, even though it's talking about standard. You have, I think, maybe a better understanding of the supply and demand, Sig?
I think the cop-out answer is it probably depends on what's being reprinted and how many copies exist. You know, if the supply was like, let's say that they put Manamorphose back in standard, you know, that card would just get destroyed. Even if it was a four of in the best standard deck, there's no way it would be $20. Right. So it's going to depend on the other sets that the card exists in. For Shocklands, I guess it seems like it's a wash because I was looking at their prices the other day and I was shocked that there was still what, like $10-$12 or something.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of blew me away. I was expecting $5, you know, but I guess it never really got there. People know that those are basically as close to blue chip as you can in today's day.
Yeah, so they've been reprinted in Oblivion, but yet they still, like you said, are around like anywhere between $7, $10, and $12. I mean, I think just because modern, it just still shows you again how big modern is. I mean, everybody needs shocks for modern.
What about something like Absorb? Let's talk about that real quick, because that one just got spoiled.
Yeah, I think... I definitely think Absorb is a sell now. I don't think it's good enough for modern because it's a three casting cost counterspell. There's just too many of those. I mean, there's even competition for the two mana slot already.
Standard, though.
Yeah, standard, I think I'm leaning towards it's going to be a hit in standard just because Teferi is very popular and Hollow Fountain's getting reprinted. And if you're going to play Hollow Fountain, you're going to play the blue white check land, is it right? Is it Glacial Fortress? Is it? Yeah. So Glacial Fortress is in right now. I mean, this is just crazy. Like, there's going to be Absorbed Teferi and all kinds of stuff. But, yeah, it does have. You know, a lot of people have been saying it still fights for the Surveil counterspell, not Chemister's Insight or whatever. Sinister Sabotage or something, I think it's called. It's going to be tough because that's another 3-mana counterspell. I think that might be better than Absorb, but I'm not really sure. I think if, you know, aggro decks come back with, like, the new green-red Gruul spell, Gruul Spell Blaster or whatever it's called, if that becomes really popular, then I think Absorb is going to be pretty powerful. But I think for now, Sinister Sabotage is going to take the first four or three slots. But I kind of just contradicted myself there, but you just have the option, right? You have Teferi and Absorb now, which is pretty crazy.
And you're talking very specific to the card. I just use it as an example. I mean, like, I'm looking on TCG Player and Absorb is $10 now. Your market price is $4.21. So it's obviously no one's paying $10, but, you know, people go and buy it out as a gut that thing. What I find really funny is that there's only 3 pre-orders on Uplayer right now for the new version from Legions. It's $7, but you can order 8 copies right now for $1.99 each from Card Kingdom. So whoever's thinking they're going to get $7 is crazy. So I think in the case of this card, it was kind of like maybe it's going to be playable, maybe, maybe not. I'm not really a good judge of Standard, but you know, it's from an Invasion and there was never printed any other times. So there aren't probably a lot of copies that exist. So maybe the Invasion foils were good to pick up as a gut reaction because they're like the original foil, but I probably wouldn't bother with, I think the price will end up in, you know, 3 months or whatever.
Yeah, so the Invasion foils were already pretty expensive. So, I mean, you would have to got in like really pretty early even to profit on those.
That answers the question. I want to keep going.
Okay.
Kelly's got another one here. Maybe we should come back to that one just so that we can answer some of the other people's questions. No offense, sure. Kelly.
We got one from TP Blaster as a comment, and it's kind of a slash question. I was wondering about what you guys think about non-foil Ultimate Masters cards. Have they bottomed, and how will they do in the next 6, 12, 18 months? You recently wrote an article about this, didn't you, Sig?
Sorry, I was responding to Kelly in the Discord.
Okay.
I was wondering what you guys... But non-foil UMA cards, are they? Oh gosh, yeah, I wrote about this because it's killing me. I just want a set of Ancient Tombs.
Yeah.
When as soon as I saw the box toppers, we didn't know exactly what it meant yet. I remember there was like a day or two where those were spoiled, but we didn't know why. But I just took it as my gut reaction was like, sell these. They're gonna use this art again somewhere. And sure enough, like it was part of this whole entire master set. So I ended up selling them. It was like $40-something in credit, ABU credit, which is like $20-25 cash, you know, when you factor in their inflated numbers. So my hope was that I can pick up a set for half that and you know, basically make like $50 in the process. And I have not had that opportunity. And you know, I looked and I saw the price kind of dip down a little bit and then it seemed to have rebounded. And I don't know, I don't think that's real. I think it's noise because I can't possibly imagine that we're, you know, that's it and the supply is all out there and there's no new supply hitting the market. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Ed? I would think that they, you know, I don't think it's bottomed, but
it's funny because they've already seemed to start bouncing back already, which is very surprising. It was really, really quick. I think quicker than what I remember from recent sets. It's weird because I feel like they have bottomed out, but I'm not quite sure because we have a Grand Prix. We have a limited Grand Prix coming up. I forgot what it is, but there's one coming up, and it's not the Ultimate Masters, though, I don't think. So,
there's an Ultimate Masters Grand Prix, is there?
No, there isn't. I was mistaken. Okay. So, yeah, I don't think it's Ultimate Masters. I don't know. I just don't know how they bounce back so quickly, and I don't know. Maybe people just love this set. Seems like it.
I mean, either the sealed product is just not enough of it, or the prices are going to have to drop. I don't think the prices can stay high and there'd be box stores selling 3 packs for $30 or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Ancient Tomb now. $20.99 shipping is the cheapest. Like, where's the $10 copy I was expecting? It's completely killing me.
Okay, so time being said, the next 2 Grand Prix are Ultimate Masters. I wasn't sure. I thought I heard that somewhere, but I wasn't sure.
Oh, thank you. So then, I mean, I don't know. Someone wants to do the math. I don't know if it introduces that much new product, but it certainly helps.
Yeah, Prague, right, is...
If you're like me, you open your product and then, you know, because these events are like $100 to enter, you just sell everything that you get that's worth money right away to offset the cost of the entry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Prague is Ultimate Masters, Grand Prix Prague, and that's coming up second week of January. So, I mean, that's a pretty big influx of Ultimate Masters into the market. So, I mean, there could be a small dip there, but, I mean, it's only 1 Grand Prix that's not in the States as well. So, could that actually, like, cause a little dip? I don't know. That's pretty tough to say.
Yeah, it's not that Blaster was saying. I agree. I don't think it's crazy, but I don't know. I'm still hard pressed to think that there's no more sealed product coming. What if there's a second wave? I mean, we just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if there'll be a second wave, but these next two, Vancouver. Oh yeah, that's this weekend, Vancouver. So there's going to be influx there.
At least wait and see what happens there.
Yeah, I think you can wait a little bit. Let's see. There's another. So this is kind of interesting because there's Magic Fest Oakland in the first week of January, and that's Modern. So that's wedged right in between both Vancouver and Prague, which are both Ultimate Masters Magic Fest. That's going to be interesting, I think, a little bit.
The other thing I'll point out is, you know, the whole Magic market is a little bit soft right now. I mean, of course, there's pockets of strength. I don't think that you need to panic buy now either. I mean, there's hundreds of ancient examples from Ultimate Masters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is going to go percent over.
Yeah.
I'm content to kind of wait and see. Maybe we miss the bottom. It seems like it's very rapid to have bottomed so quickly, and it's never happened mm-hmm. like that before. Even if it has bottomed, I don't think it's about to go parabolic.
Yeah.
Wait and see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm kind of with you on that. I want to see some results from Oakland, I think, the Modern Magic Fest, just to see what kind of decks are still doing well, and then maybe kind of cross-reference that with the cards that are in Ultimate Masters. Either is in it or not in it, and then start maybe picking up some cards then.
We did justice for that question.
Yeah. Okay. So
I can have a question.
Okay, yeah, it was a good one. I'm scrolling back up again. The recent announcements regarding the increase in prize pool money and the adoption of Arena in Pro Play All, Inter-Pro Play All, seem to be a net positive for the game. Do you agree with the growth in Arena? Do you agree that the growth in Arena will ultimately lead to growth in tabletop as a percentage of those digital players spill over into paper? You there, Sig?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm thinking.
Okay, I'll start on that if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So initially, I was like, "Wow, man." This Arena thing seems to be really popular, which is awesome. But then I was like, man, is paper going to die? Should I get rid of my collection or at least sell part of it or maybe move some of it into like dual lands or power? But I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's very good for the game. And I think there's definitely going to be a percentage of those people that start off in Arena first and want to check out Paper Magic. It's definitely going to be a non-zero percentage. And
do you think is more? Which population is going to be larger? The population who start playing Magic via Arena and think like, oh man, I want to see what else this game has to offer. I want to buy paper. Mm-hmm. Versus the people who play paper today and are like, you know, it's hard for me to get to FNM and it's, you know, it's so expensive. I'm going to sign up for this Arena and just play Magic that way instead.
It's funny that you asked that question because I was just thinking that. And it's also funny, too, because I'm in that second group that you mentioned. Like, I played a lot of paper, but now I'm so busy with a kid and work and everything. I haven't really played that much paper, and I've checked out Arena a few times. So I'm like, man, maybe I should just start playing just only Arena now. So to answer that question, I think it's a relatively easy answer. You're going to get more people that are going to shift over from paper to Arena versus Arena to paper. But I think the people that play that shift from paper to Arena will still play both. They won't completely cut off paper and then go only to Arena and vice versa. So I just think it's probably easier because you already know Magic and you want to check out Arena. But if you start in Arena, you're like totally just in the computer world, right? Playing Magic. But and then you got to go out and like spend more money to buy Magic cards or paper Magic cards. And then find a place to play and all this stuff. So I think the percentage is going to be higher from paper to Arena. But what I was saying was that any percentage, which is I think is going to be non-zero percentage of from Arena to paper, is more people playing Paper Magic as a whole.
True.
So
I don't,
yeah,
I'm gonna be, you know, a little cheeky with this answer because, you know, they're not gonna introduce old school or vintage or any of the old, you know, cards in Arena, at least not anytime soon. So I'm personally not worried about owning power duels, whatever. Like, I feel like those are not going to be hurt because all of a sudden, you know, the old school players who are playing at their bars, slinging Dark Rituals into Hypnotic Spectres are all of a sudden going to quit and go to Arena. So I think that demand for that kind of stuff is not going to be impacted. But if you're a standard, you know, speculator, maybe it's different, but easily standard is so reactionary with the Pro Tour and the metagame and all that. Like, I don't think it's going to be, you know, it's going to impact that either.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a slight dip in paper as people transition a little bit from playing a little bit less paper to checking out Arena. I mean, you just don't have that much time to play both, I don't think, right? So, generally speaking. So I think there's going to be a little dip in paper, but then as there's a huge influx of people playing Magic through Arena, there's going to be a slight spike again in overall paper Magic. But I think that's going to take some time. Now, how long that's going to be, I'm not really sure. It could be half a year, maybe shorter. I don't really know.
Bottom line, I'm not worried about it. I mean, if you're looking for a positive catalyst, I think that might take time if it happens, but I don't think there's going to be any negative impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. We have another question from the Polar Beer. Do you have a dual land hierarchy outside of blue greater than non-blue?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think Bayou is the top non-blue, and then Badlands is next. Now, people might have a comment. I mean, Plateau is definitely towards the bottom with Taiga. Here, let me just, the easiest thing to do, and it's kind of cheating, but
yeah.
Go to Card Kingdom, you look at their duels, and you sort by price. You'll see their ranking, I tend to agree with.
Yeah, Bayou has been above Badlands for a while, but I think Badlands has started creeping up pretty close to
right on Card Kingdom. Yeah, they're the same price on Card Kingdom, Badlands and Bayou. Then you've got your Savannah, Scrublands here, and then you've got Taiga Plateau at the bottom. And then Plateau at the very last.
Yeah, I think I would still... I chose Bayou over Badlands because you normally see that in like in Sultai decks, but I guess you can say that for Badlands too, because Grixis is pretty popular in Legacy, but I don't think as many Badlands are played as Bayous in those decks. I'd have to look that up. I can't remember off the top of my head, but. Yeah, I mean, those are definitely the two after all the blue duels.
Go to MTG Stocks and your analytics. You can look at the most played cards.
Yeah.
So I can see what the most played duel lands are in Legacy here.
Yeah.
Island, Underground Sea. It probably doesn't go low enough here to get to those. Bayou is number 35.
Yeah. And then Badlands is not even on here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Badlands is not even on here. So Bayou still ahead by quite a bit.
Yeah, I would prefer Bayou first, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
A good discussion here, and I gotta find the next question.
Yeah, there's another one from the Polar Group, but I don't know if we can answer that. Any chance of getting more QS stickers printed at some point, Kelly? I guess we'll have to get back to you on that. The Polar
Group on the spot. Oh, you know, yeah. He can hear the audio. He knows that he's been asked for that.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Nice. All right, let's move on to the next one. What do we got here?
This is dialogue, actually.
Yeah.
If no one has another question, we'll go back to Kelly's third question. It is just about EDH rec. Do you think its EDH rec stats are one-to-one correlated to price? Does it skew heavily towards Commander, or is it a good proxy for the market as a whole? Funny that you asked that, Kelly, because I know Neil, who's his nickname Pi, lowercase pi. He wrote an article on the non-reliability of EDH rec and how it's not a very dependable tool for trying to predict price. I personally think that there's a decent enough correlation that it's worth leveraging. I think it's a good comparative tool. So I come from a background where I work in modeling and simulation for my career. And we always tell people that a lot of times our models are directionally accurate, even if they're not absolutely accurate. I may not be able to tell you that, you know, whatever you're going to do, it's going to give you the a certain number, like 3, you know, but I can tell you that this design is better than that design, or this one's worse than that, and here's why. In the same way, I think EDH Rec could be a useful tool for that. If you have one card that shows up in 10,000 decks and one that shows up in 6,000 decks, I would say that the 10,000 one probably has more commander demand than the 6,000 one. So that's how I'd use it, but I would never, of course, say, oh, well, there's 10,000 people who use this card. Like, obviously, that's silly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's correlated. No, but when you want to correlate it to price, you have to take into consideration a lot more factors, like how many sets it was printed in, what's the most recent, are you talking foils, non-foils, et cetera. So a lot more convoluted, so you can't make a really easy comparison. You know, you'd have to find two cards printed in the same set at the same rarity, you know, and that's it. And then you can try to make that comparison, but that doesn't happen anymore these days. Not to mention demand from other formats. So, like, you can't compare Gaia's Cradle and Sarah's Sanctum. It's not a fair comparison, even though they're both only in one set as rare, because, you know, one is used a lot more heavily in Legacy than the other.
Mm-hmm. To play off the EDH stuff here, how often do you check EDH Rec?
I don't check it, like, religiously like I do MTG Stocks and Card Kingdoms buy list, but I do look at it whenever I'm writing an article and I want to reference something, or if I want to see if a card is getting, if it's got value because of commander demand, just like we were talking about one card, Heroic Intervention, before. I was curious. I was like, I wonder if this is a commander card, if that's why it's an $8 card. And sure enough, so that's when I use the tool. But, you know, use it in the past, like when a new commander spoiled and all of a sudden, like Hapatra, and everyone was buying out all the Hapatra staples. I did use it for that, and haven't done it, used it for that purpose in a while.
I see. All right, let's see. I think it looks like we got through all the questions. Like you said, a lot of the other stuff was
dialogue.
Yeah, dialogue.
Talking about Ultimate Masters, how risky the EV is on sealed. Yeah.
I was surprised Mastrop did a second drop of UMA at, 280? Yeah, and you replied, yeah, isn't 280 still relatively low for the EV?
I think there's a lot of variance. I mean, not as feel bad as some of the other Masters sets, but I personally have terrible luck opening products, so you won't see me crack a box unless I'm drafting it, which I don't get to play much anymore, so that's not likely to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we're open up for other questions. Otherwise, I propose that we talk a little bit about looking ahead to 2019.
Sure.
Personally, one thing that I do... 2019 is, I do think that there will be a, you know, kind of a rebound in some of these prices that have gotten soft. I wrote an article about this a while back, but I was looking at the schedule, the calendar, and when a lot of the spikes tended to happen, it seemed like it was always like in that February, March, like spring, early spring time frame. Mm-hmm. So my hope is that come March, April, maybe it's related to tax returns. I always was a little skeptical of that. But even in case, maybe we'll see a rebound in like modern staples and then in dual lands, things like that. So that's kind of my hope. Maybe it won't be like the exponential curves that we saw earlier this year, but it should stabilize and then start to see kind of an equilibrium and then go back in the positive direction.
I see. Yeah, you kind of stole my answer there. Well, part of your answer stole my, because that was one. I guess that was my prediction for 2019, which is why I bought the duels. I think we're gonna see a little bit of an increase in duels in 2019. I think it's probably gonna be, I would say the latter half of the year. You got to get people coming back in, you know, like you said, with tax money and stuff, and the stock market has been down, and also, Arena is relatively new, so a lot of people are focus on that. But I think they're going to come back up, even with some of the people that are starting out with just Arena, and maybe that very small percentage comes over to Paper Magic. They may start with like Standard or whatever or Modern, but then I find, you know, when you learn about Magic and you start learning about these older cards, it's like, holy cow, look at these lands, look at these really expensive cards, man. I would love to get some of these cards eventually, save up for it, trade into them, whatever, you know. It's one thing that really amazes me is that when I see tournaments, when I watch live tournaments and I see these young kids playing, I mean, I say young kids, I'm almost 40 and I started playing in 1994. So I was pretty young when I started playing. I didn't start playing competitively until 97. And some of these people that are playing now Magic on Twitch and, you know, on SCG, they're like 12, 13 year old, 14, 17, 16 years old, 15 years old. And they have duels, you know, and I don't know if they're, you know, they're getting sponsored or whatever, but it's like, wow, these kids are playing with like these $100 cards, you know, like a few hundred dollar cards. And it just, I don't know. And there's only a finite supply of those dual lands, right? So, you know, it just takes a few hundred, you know, a thousand more people to start playing and be interested in those older cards and they want to buy them. It just soaks up more of the supply from the market.
I'm nervous. I don't want to create a reserve list debate, so I'm going to be very cautious in how I phrase this, because I know people are very heated on this. But
yeah,
the big car manufacturers, they all make very high end, top of the line, like supercars, and you know you can see them, and you know you can't necessarily afford one, but you know, you, the royal, you still want to go out and buy something of that brand because you want to aspire to having one of those top of the line cards. Like they almost exist as something to aspire to or to look up to or whatever. And I feel like that's healthy for a brand.
Yeah.
And so in much the same way, like you said, you know, you sit down, you're at your local store, you're playing Standard or Modern or whatever, but you see people with these old cards with this so much, power in them, you know, the dual lands where you don't have to pay to life. What's going on here? Mm-hmm. I mean, and then you hear about what they're worth. It almost creates like this allure. I've heard other finance people say like unobtainium, like there's this aspect of like, oh man, wouldn't it be cool if one day I had X, and it gives us this extra like bit of appeal. So I think that's healthy for the game. You know, keep in mind, it's not prohibitive, only to people who are trying to play competitive Legacy and Vintage, because in most other scenarios, you don't need to have any of those expensive cards. Even in Commander, a lot of play groups will allow you to proxy them or play the gold border versions or whatever. But I kind of went off on a tangent there, but I think that that's good for the game, and I don't think Wizards wants to see that go. So that's why I like them for the long term.
Yeah. All right, it looks like we got another question from the Polar Bear. Thoughts on EDH's demand on Ultimate Masters toppers? Will it give them the boost that the Modern Legacy usable ones give? I just had a discussion about this earlier today. It was actually in Discord, and I pointed out a couple of ones that were popular in Modern / Legacy that I felt were a little bit underpriced, which I also talked about in our call, and they were Fulminator Mage and Life from the Loam. Those are quite a bit cheaper than some of the other popular ones. So I think those have a little bit of room to grow, but a lot of other people were saying we should look at the EDH box toppers because those may be even better than something like Fulminator Mage or Life from the Loam. I'm not really sure which ones I would look at for EDH from the box toppers. Let me look it up really quick. I'm not an EDH expert.
What about like Temporal Manipulation? Is that an EDH card?
Let's take a look it up. Let's take a look at it. Let's look it up.
I guess it's only 1900 decks. Maybe people don't like taking extra turns as much as I thought.
Yeah, 1900 is not a whole lot though, right?
Right.
We need to get a list of the box toppers again. Let's see.
As an elite card on Card Kingdom, I'm limited by price.
Uh-huh.
The Urborg shows up as $90.
I think that one might be a good one. So let's see. I think that might show up in quite a few.
45,000 decks. Yeah, that's a lot more popular.
So this one is huge, I think. We got Urborg, and this also sees play And I think it's he's playing in Modern and Legacy. Yeah, let me check real quick. Okay. Yeah, so this sees quite a bit of play in Legacy and Dark Depths, like you said, and Eldrazi. Those are the two big ones. And Post-Ramp are all really popular in Legacy. And the crazy thing about this one is the art. This is new art for this card. So I think this is a really pretty good target. And you said it was $90, right, for the box topper?
It was on Card Kingdom. I can see near mint for around $80 on PCG Player.
Yeah. I think this is a good one.
At 25 sellers, so there's not a ton of them. You know, honestly, with these box toppers, I'm just waiting for another finance person to say, hey, go buy box toppers. And then on a cast, someone's going to say, I have a long box of 150 of, you know, Urborgs. And then everyone's going to panic buy, and then there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I sound bitter about it, but that's just because I missed the boat on it completely. So,
It's funny because I'm actually not that big of a fan of the box toppers. I think I might have mentioned this in one of the articles, but I think Wizards could have done a little bit more with the full art. It doesn't really seem that, like, they're actually full art like some of the other ones that they've done. They just kind of expanded the border a little bit. It felt like they got a little lazy there, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just complaining to complain. But
they're not as flashy as some of the masterpieces, but I mean,
yeah.
Art, unlike the invocations.
Yeah, which I actually I'm a outlier on that. I actually like the invocations, but I know most people don't. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's weird because I, you know, since I like those and most people don't, the price on those are not as high as some of the other versions because, you know, people just think they're ugly and they can't read it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, I was going to check.
Things like Demonic Tutor seem like they'll always be second class compared to the Judge versions, but are closer to the average EDH player's budget to me.
Yeah, but the box top, there's a box topper for Demonic Tutor, right? And that one is also a new art. So I think the box topper for Demonic Tutor might be pretty good. But I think it's pretty expensive already, though, right?
Yes, it's 200 near min on Card Kingdom.
Yeah, so it's up there already. I mean, could it go to 300-400? Maybe. Yeah.
You know, at that point.
Okay, that doesn't see a lot of play in EDH. I'm just looking at the list again. What else there is?
Box Hopper is amazingly pretty. See, someone disagrees with you.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
they
there
look
you
cool.
Go.
Yeah. Yeah. We're looking at a Kozilek and a Demonic Tutor right now in the Discord.
Yeah.
They do look nice. I've never seen one in person, honestly, because I haven't had a chance to go to a store or whatever in a while. I don't own any myself. Yeah, they are much more impressive in person. Exactly.
Yeah, they do look pretty nice there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot of these exist, right? I don't know how many more are going to hit the market. Are these rarer than the Expeditions? Does anybody have a feel for that in the Discord?
I think there was a discount. I don't think they are rarer than Expeditions or Invocations.
So there's more of these than the Expeditions?
I think so, but I'm not 100% sure.
I mean,
there's one in every box, right? So, and a lot of these boxes got open, but a ton of, what do you call it? It was Kaladesh and Amonkhet, right, were open because of the... Oh, and Expeditions, that was Battle, Battle for Zendikar.
Thank you. Chris Martin said, expectation is that they are slightly more populous than the Expeditions. So. Mm. They're, you know.
Yeah. How do we find these numbers? Is there a way to actually find the numbers on this stuff?
I don't know. People have done estimates, but it's like, isn't there a Drake's equation or whatever to try to calculate the population of the not there's planets with life on them? That's what we're doing. I made a reference to this on Big Bang Theory. Yeah, basically it's an equation to estimate the odds of finding extraterrestrial life on other planets. And it's like a bunch of factors. N equals R times FP times NE times FL times FI times FC times L. So I feel like that's kind of what people do to try to estimate the population of these cards.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of physics for you.
Nice.
Yeah, or something like that.
things like the Fuel Clash.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. I missed out the boat on these. These are very, these seem to be very popular. Not super, not a lot of copies exist. So if there's certain ones that you're looking for EDH, I probably wouldn't sit and wait. I'd probably take advantage of the next eBay coupon. I don't think you're going to see a ton of these in the market. There was some math estimates done by MTG Price Team. I'll see if I can dig it up. The unknown distribution to the Mythic Edition owners makes it harder to estimate. That's true, too.
I think in my last article or the one before that, I did mention to pick up the box toppers that you would want to play with. I mean, I don't think they're really going to go down in price.
I think what people might be afraid of is, if you remember with the Expeditions, there was some hype around those at first, and then the prices kind of tapered off for a while, or they rebounded. I mean, I remember, people would pay, I don't remember the exact numbers, $150, $200 for like a Flooded Strand or something, and then it came back down quite a bit before finally getting back to that number again.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pull up a chart here.
I think long term, they're just going to keep going up. But if you want to flip them, it takes a little more digging into.
Yeah. So looking at Flooded Strand here in November of 2015, it bottomed at $182, and then in January of 2016, so 2 months later, it was up to $212. Mm-hmm. So that's 15% whatever rise in 3 months. I think people were starting to get really hot on these, and then it just dropped all the way down to $140 in 2017. And then it was $140 for like a year before it finally went back up to around $200. So remember, that's what happened with the Expeditions. I don't know what's going to happen with these box toppers.
Yeah, maybe I should take my word back, because I'm looking at Holofox. Looks like it started out $180, it dropped to about 75, and it's starting to go back up again, but it's only at about a little over 100. So it's like a little bit under $80 on when it first came out. So
there was definitely a moment of hype. These are bottoms. Everyone buy them. There's not a lot of them. And then the market just went really soft on these for a year. I'm nervous that might happen again with Ultimate Masters, but at the same time, is that a bet? Is that a gamble you're willing to make? It depends on how badly you want these.
Yeah. I think that's kind of another reason why, I had some store credit, right? And I saw these box toppers, and I thought a lot of Expeditions too, which I mentioned. I was looking at Engineered Explosive, the Invention version. And ultimately, I was just like, man, I'm going to spend the store credit. I'm going to just get some duels, because they're just going to keep going up.
It might seem far-fetched, but you never know when another promo of a card is going to be made either. You know what I mean? Someone had mentioned, there's the Judge promo, Demonic Tutor. There's so will they make another promo near Explosives with a very nice art? And then it might not hurt the value of the Invention, but it might cannibalize some of the demand so that it doesn't go up as much.
Yeah.
You never have to worry about that with the dual land.
Yeah. I mean, this has been talked about for many years over and over and over. Duels, right? And reserve list cards. But, I mean, it always comes up, though. Shows you how powerful it is, if you're looking for long-term stuff, you can't really beat those.
You know what I use the Expeditions and stuff for is I use them for liquidity. Like when I submit a buy list to like ABU Games or something, and I want to get some cards that I can sell for cash, I'll tend to look at their slightly played Expeditions type cards, because there's a lot of demand. They sell very easily. If you price 10% below TCG low, they sell.
Interesting. That's good to know, because I've been sitting on a Chalice of the Void for a while. I think I traded for it at like 100, and it's been hovering around like 180 to 200 for a while, and I don't really use it right now, so I thought about getting rid of it, but I don't know what I would get rid of it for and what I would get for it. So
I would just say 10% below TCG low, just throw it on Twitter or whatever, and just or Facebook, and see if you get a bite. I mean, you'll have to, you won't be able to get the actual eBay pricing for it. You'll have to subtract out a percentage to beat the market. But if you're willing to do that, then they sell very easily.
Okay.
Yeah, I got the Kozilek for a judge, foil, command tower. I picked up $30. Not sure I'd park $100 into it for a few years. Yeah. $100 is a tougher pill to swallow for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Close to market. Really, no one wants the expeditions close to market. Yeah, you know, close to market is kind of a wishy-washy phrase. Not trying to call you out. I mean, that's the challenge, is finding what these are actually worth. I find that for the expeditions I've had, if I mark them 10% below TCG low on Twitter, I've been able to sell a few of them so far within like a day or two. There was one exception. I had a tough time selling some random one. I forget what it was now. It was like one of those $30 ones that not a lot of people wanted.
I've done a lot of loose math investigating, and they are more common masterpieces, almost two times as common, comparing TCG stock of cold toppers to cold MPS. Oh, that's interesting.
Two times, wow.
Yeah. And wasn't, Chris Martin's Prairie Stream, LOL.
It wasn't Prairie Stream. It wasn't a dual land of sorts. It was some weird with an ability. I forget. Some commander card. I forget what it was.
Yeah, so Craven,
that was it. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's in like 10,000 EDH decks. It's going to sell easily. And then like no one wanted it. I had to mark it down quite a bit to sell it.
Yeah.
Questions did have a long time. I said 6 months, but it's probably closer to a year. I see the polar bear. I had a few of them. I was on the hype train with expeditions, and then I just had this feeling, and I sold out of all of them. I had like a couple of the really nice ones, the Hollow Fountain and the Mystery Rainforest, and a couple Overgrown Tomb. I just got out of all of them, and I don't have any regrets.
Hey, we have a few minutes left. Sig, I forgot about something I wanted to ask you. You know, we haven't really talked too much about Ravnica Allegiance spoilers. Is there anything that stuck out to you from the spoilers with regards to, you know, maybe cards that you should be picking up, that, you know, because of those spoilers or anything else?
I think that's going to be a topic that's by you. I admittedly don't pay as much attention to new cards nowadays.
I think a lot of people are pretty high on Rick's Maddie Reveler. I picked up a set of those at $3, but I think it was pretty expensive. I don't think it's good enough for modern, because I was having some discussion with some of people that play quite a bit still, and I don't think it's going to make the cut for modern humans, but it's worth a try. So I just picked up a set. I don't know, it could surprise us. The rummage or loot, or whatever you want to, however you want to call that, is, I think, you know, is something to at least consider. But there's a lot of other cards. There's still Dark Confidant, Draven Inspector, Militia Bugler still might be way better than it, so I'm not sure. But Lavinia is pretty interesting. It might make the cut over something like Gaddock Teague, but there might be some totally like new variant, blue white variant, aggressive type deck like humans. I don't know. It could have that and Spell Queller. And some other cards, maybe even meddling, some combination of all of those. So I don't, maybe Adhokar, or I don't know how you pronounce that, Adhokar Waste from originally from Ice Age might see a little bit of increase in play. I don't think there's enough. I don't think it's like actionable purchasing though for that card, but it's just something to look out for. And I think that's a pretty powerful card. It kind of hoses quite a few things.
Yeah, I'm just reading it now. I do remember this one. More hate for my Storm deck.
Yeah, I mean it does work pretty nicely with Spell Queller, so I can't cast that.
It does. Yeah. I mean Gaddock Teague. Yeah, the problem with Gaddock Teague is it's white green, whereas this is white blue, so it can fit into a white blue deck. Obviously, very, very easily. My one question would be: I'm not sure if this card, if Lavinia itself, is worth anything. You know,
It's pretty expensive now. It's definitely way too expensive, and it's a promo, so I would just wait for those. The other card is Growth Spiral. It's a common though, and I think there's a promo for it. But I would definitely get the promos though when they come out, if you can get them pretty cheap, anywhere from like $3 to $5. This card is going to be pretty good, I think. It's pretty much a better explore because instant. Yeah, it's pretty crazy that they printed a better version of that.
Right.
It's blue, so you can pitch it to Force of Will. So who knows? I mean, some people might try this, some crazy stuff out in Legacy now with that card. It just gives you a little more flexibility. I don't think it's probably not good enough to make it top tier into top tier decks, but I don't know. Could it's possible. I think the red spectacle card, I think it was a light up the stage, is pretty interesting. Could see a sizable amount of play, maybe even a modern. Yeah, I don't. Those are the only cards that really kind of stuck out to me. Oh, I guess the instant time twister is pretty interesting too. We haven't seen an instant time twister yet, right? So that's it's a card to look out for. Just because, I mean, you can just end of turn draw seven, end of your opponent's turn draw seven, which is pretty powerful. I mean, people didn't have to play around that previously, but now when you have seven mana and you tap out to play something and it gets, you know, whatever, it doesn't do as much on the board when you cast it, and all of a sudden your opponent's drawing seven cards. It's pretty dangerous. So, yeah, there's definitely gonna be a lot of people tinkering with that card. So,
just so people are aware, you know, if they're not familiar, we have page on QS's site. It says Ravnica Legion spoilers, facts, specs, and more that you Ed, you edit and you keep up to date with your analysis as new cards come out.
Yeah, I try to do my best. It doesn't necessarily come out, you know, as quick as maybe some other sites, but there's one thing that I've noticed with ours is that there's some commentary, you know, there's some, a little bit of write up on some of these cards versus some of the other sites. They're just posting the image. So,
oh yeah, we have the financial analysis.
A little bit about it, and then just kind of, you know, where the card may fit or may not. Obviously, it's all speculative because it's, the full set isn't out. People haven't played the cards, but you know, I hope to just kind of start a dialogue with those cards, you know, and anybody can just post in the comments section. So. Anybody that listens to this, and you know, feel free to bookmark that page, and you know, we do our best to get the new cards up on there.
Yep. Yeah. Even if you just comment that you like the idea or you want to see something a little different.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Also really helpful to us.
Yeah, it could be anything really, and anything. So definitely check that out.
I think I've got to get going here. So if you don't mind, we can wrap up a couple minutes early.
Sure. Yep.
So thank you guys for listening and for all your questions and the engaging dialogue. Really enjoyed it as always. Please feel free to leave comments, and you know, you think this is useful, you think it's not useful, you want to be a little different. We're very open-minded to all that.
Yeah, definitely. And this should be posted up a little bit later. So if you want to check back and listen to this, if you missed it, feel free to do so as well.
Yeah. So thank you all for listening. And with that, I'll sign off. Thanks again.